The Broadcast with Amanda Shandy and Colleen. This is season 4, episode 29. That is my lucky number. Episode number 164, which has no meaning to me. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. No, I'm serious. The day that Jay and I met was April 29th, and then the day we got married was April 29th. So 429, you know, my lucky numbers.
Oh, nice.
Here we are. Anyway, 429 it is. It's also fun that those... So here's the numbers thing, and when I realized this earlier, I was like super excited about it. The other numbers thing that has to do with this episode is yesterday, as of recording this, so this past week... February 10th is the day that I got engaged, and it was our 10-year anniversary, and I was like, maybe 1 plus 6 plus 4 equals 10, it doesn't, it equals 11, because that would have been cool, but it doesn't.
But today is the 11th of February when we're recording.
Very true. Woo! Yep. Spooky. There we go. I am bringing in energy tonight, guys. It's a weird one.
Hey, that's good. You come to the table with whatever you got.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's a weird energy, but here we are. It's also Valentine's Day week, which I know in the past we've talked about how it is a Hallmark holiday, but you know I love a good theme. So we're going to, I don't know, in honor of anniversary, engage-iversary, Valentine's Day week, I don't know. I asked everybody to submit us some stories for their dates, and we'll see if anybody answered the call. I did put it out about 4 hours before we were recording, but I think we got some stuff.
Well, but spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I think we got some goods.
Yeah. Mm. I can see Amanda's face right now. She's like, we just did the patrons bonus show and Colleen's energy level was very normal. Did she smoke something in the 5 minutes that we stopped to take a break?
Oh, you got all that from my face?
I did.
Actually, I've really just been trying to stifle a burp.
Oh.
I was like, oh dear. Oh dear. Don't come to me. Don't come to me.
I can edit it and post. It's fine.
I don't think I can hit mute that fast.
And she doesn't ever stop talking, so it would have to stay in. Anyway. Oh, yes, I know, Matt. That's what she said. How's it going, guys? Happy February week. Happy February.
Yeah.
Happy February week.
We have arrived.
It's been a very big week in my house. Literally, it's been a very big week. Last Thursday, we had this crazy, like, microburst storm everywhere in, like, Raleigh. I think it, like, moved up the coast. We lost power for almost 24 hours, and it's the reason why the Real Weird Sisters show was delayed, because I usually edit on Thursday nights, and I edited as much as I could and was like, I'll just finish at whatever tomorrow. But then my computer lost power because I had, you know, gone down to the end, and I never made it to a Starbucks or anything to post it. And then it was birthday weekend for me and Alex, so my family was here, and there was just never a chance. So I'm really sorry that everything came out so late, everybody. But I hope you will check out both parts of the Real Weird Sisters crossover that we did. I think they're both really fun. And I had forgotten in the 2 weeks since we had recorded about Martha's toilet knowledge. And it was,
oh my God, it's impressive.
Right. Upon the re-listen.
Oh, I forgot about that,
yeah.
Too.
And when Alice is like, yeah, the first thing, like, time she pointed out was, isn't it funny that our piano teacher's name was Church, but she has a, like, American toilet, but our church, I don't know, whatever it was like, that. I was like, oh my God, that's how I start on those weird things too.
Martha is a woman of many quirks, and I love them all. And don't expect, like, half of them.
Yeah, you never know when that kind of knowledge is going to come in handy.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, also, by the way, every single time my parents are here, no joke, something happens. Like, without a doubt, since we were in a townhouse, we've either had a snowstorm and lost power, or last year we lost electricity. I'm sorry, we lost internet for, like, 5 days, and my parents were here. My dad has gotten, like, a stomach virus twice while he's been here.
Oh, God.
I know, it's really weird, right? Like, almost every time. Like, I would say if it was a batting average, they would be, like, really good batters.
Oh, really bad, depending on how you look at it. If something bad has happened every single time they come.
Very true. Very true. Oh, but anyway, yeah, it's really weird. Like, but anyway, the other big thing that happened this past weekend was we have finally checked off one of our 2020 goals to be more sustainable, and we bought one of the water cooler thingies, the crystal water delivery thingies. It's like a rental fee each month for the cooler, and then, you know, we got four jugs each month delivered. We figured out that was what, like, that came out to be the same amount, like, in water as when we were what we were spending at Costco on water bottles. So we're hoping to transition away from water bottles.
Nice.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. So we'll see how that goes. We bought I think we bought 2 packs of water bottles as emergency in the event of losing power, because it got delivered on Thursday about 35 minutes after the electricity went out. So we're like, okay, thank God we still have water bottles. So they will be like our hurricane water or something, you know, like emergency. But other than that, we are hoping to get away from that. So we're really excited about that.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. And then, you know, I turned 36 and had a little...
I was going to say, and then you had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a birthday. I had a little bit of a panic that I was, you know, I was like, oh my God, I'm 36, I'm almost 40. What have I done with my life? And like totally freaked out a little bit, but I'm okay now, I think. I'm good. It'll probably recur when I turn 37, but we're good for right now. Yeah. We had Alex's birthday party on Saturday as well. We had a little Mickey Mouse theme, oh toodles, and I think he had fun. I think everybody had fun, and yeah, good times. We went to this place on with my aunt, my uncle, my grandma on Sunday, because my parents and sisters had left on Sunday morning. We went to this place called Drive Shack, and it's like a Top Golf kind of knockoff place. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Top Golf. Essentially, it's like bowling for people that play golf, if that makes sense, and darts combined. So you're stacked up on like levels of a deck of and everybody's putting out to this giant putting or hitting a golf ball out to this giant green. And it's set up like a dartboard. So you start out with 300 points, and you want to hit it to places on the green where the corresponds with the dartboard, and get the most points so you can get down to zero quickest. So it takes a little bit of like getting used to it. I sucked. Alex and I shared a turn. Literally, we had 290 points at the end of it, while everybody else had close to zero. Because it's also a timer, so it's an hour or whoever gets to zero quickest. And my aunt plays golf a lot, and she got down to like 29 points, and everybody else still had like 150, 160, and Alex and I had, you know, 290. And at one point, my aunt was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for you guys. And she got us down to like 200 in like 76 points. She got us like 15 points or something. But yeah, it's really fun though. I recommend going if you're looking for something like that. I enjoyed that, you know, there was a bar and a space heater. Two of my favorite things.
All the creature comforts.
It was great. Okay, nice. Yeah, I'm done. Sorry, I talked for a lot. Like I said, I got this weird energy going on.
No, that's good. You had great stuff that happened. The only exciting thing that happened to me was that I got a haircut.
Oh, that is exciting.
You want to know the last time I got a haircut? My birthday.
Oh. Holy shit.
Yeah, it really got out of hand. it was not intentional that I went that long in between haircuts. It just sort of happened.
Yeah. Awesome. I need to get a haircut, and my hairdresser has a Chinese foreign exchange student, so she was actually supposed to go to China for 3 weeks in February.
Oh,
so she's not doing that, huh?
One day I was like, wait a second. Wasn't she supposed to go to China? How is that working? And then I went on Facebook and she was like, you know, trip was canceled, so I'm open again, but I'm still too lazy.
Yeah, no, it was one of those, like, walked in, it was like, Steven, give it to me straight. How much has to come off? I'm like, I don't, just do it. Just do it. Don't tell me. Just do it.
And?
So it is considerably shorter. Here, I can take it down. I've got this really cute little ponytail now that kind of just like goes around in all directions.
Nice.
It's really kind of fun. But yeah, hold on. Wait, let me lose the headphones for full effect.
Quick, make fun of her hair while she can't hear you. Oh, it looks really good, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
I really like it.
Yeah. So
nice.
Curls up nice.
Yeah.
Feels pretty healthy.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, cool.
And it all goes up in the ponytail. Last time I had it this short, it didn't all. It was like too short. Like I couldn't get it all in a ponytail. Mm-hmm. This can get in a ponytail, and yeah, it was lovely. I feel lighter. Nice. Feel lighter.
Yeah.
Nice. What about you, Shandy?
I finished some things to include Sabrina, Sex Education, and The Testaments.
Boom, yes.
We finished Sabrina 2 while we were gone.
I have made it to episode 2. I have doubled the amount of episodes I've watched since the last time we recorded.
Well, there you go. Two of us have finished Sabrina. Two of us have finished
Sex Education.
Yeah. And two of us have finished The Testaments?
Yes.
Not me.
Okay, I have.
I remember that you had read it. Okay. Yeah. So at some point we will talk about these things, but that's been great.
Sex Education is actually on my list, and I will make it a priority to watch it at least season one before we record again next Tuesday. I will make it a priority.
Man, okay. Season two is so fucking good.
You'll enjoy it. It'll be an easy, easy thing. It won't feel like homework at all, I assure you.
Totally. Good. So that was thing one. And then thing two is that I had a mini Raleigh meetup. Kayla came and stayed with me last weekend.
I saw that. That's awesome.
Oh, so she stayed with you. Oh, this
she stayed with me. We had a whole weekend together. So she came down. There was this run that I do every year. It's a fundraiser for the local rape crisis center. And I had posted about it on Facebook, and she said that she was maybe interested. And then she like actually came down and did it. And I didn't realize until after the race, but it was her first race.
Wow. That's exciting. Way to go, Kayla.
Yeah. So she came to town on Friday, and we like had drinks in my place and then went out on the town and met up with some of my friends. And then on Saturday we did some running around, and then we went out again to happy hour and hung out with, we had kind of like a ladies' night, like out on the town, and then didn't stay out too late because then the next day we had our race. And it's in like a really beautiful part of town, just like right on the coast. And it starts at the park that's used in Big Little Lies.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And so anyway, then we did the race, and it was a really beautiful day, really, really windy, but we had, at least we had sun and it was like decently warm. And then after that, this race is really fun because afterwards they do this raffle where all the race participants get a ticket, and then they raffle off all these prizes from like, you know, local vendors that have donated things, and some of the prizes are really good, like $100 at the Cinemark. There were multiple $100 for like different restaurants. There's like a night at Esalen, which is this like spa thing. And anyway, we didn't win any of the prizes, but it was really fun to participate.
Yeah.
And then we went to brunch with some of my friends from the race. One of my friends works like at the center, so we always go to brunch afterwards. And, you know, watched some Brooklyn Nine-Nine also in our downtime. So that was fun. And yeah. And then Sunday, late afternoon, she went back up home, but it was fun. Oh, also on Friday, we FaceTimed JP. Shout out to JP. So it really was like a mini.
Man, JP
meetup.
Is like a little nice. Slut. He meets up with everyone.
That's true. Yeah. I did forget to mention.
That's right.
Daniel and I went and we hung out with JP and Roe. We had a game night, which was actually the night after I got my haircut. So sorry, Barry Bleed.
he actually told us all about the game night that you the game that you guys did. It sounded
it was
cool.
Super fun. We're gonna open like our own Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think the four of us would be an amazing detective team. We like we played this like murder mystery like cold case game. I don't know, JP, what is it called? I don't know, cold case files or something. I don't know, but it was really fun. And we spent hours trying to solve this murder, and we did it.
Nice.
As a team, it was great.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, cool. I'm a little bit excited. I'm excited to play this game, so.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Before we move on, I completely forgot. I bought a little thingy of champagne to do a toast that I'm back on the off the
way. Hooray!
Nice.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's
Cheers.
Just a little, if anybody playing at home, it's a little single serving nice. One thingy.
I'm drinking a LaCroix because I had like a glass and a half of wine before we recorded.
You were feisty. And
that's more than I need. I thought of you actually calling because I had to take antibiotics for a week. And I was told that I couldn't have alcohol at all.
You can't. You also shouldn't have sex with unprotected because antibiotics can.
You know. Well, yes. Frank is not here right now. So that was not the issue. But I actually Googled it to be like, can you really not have alcohol with antibiotics? And they were like, yeah, some of them, whatever. But like these two, you absolutely cannot have any alcohol. And of course, that's what I was taking. So I was like, oh, well, Colleen did a month. I did a week.
It sucks.
Solidarity.
Cheers.
I did win the days.
Yeah, no. When Kayla came, that was the first day that I finished the antibiotics on Thursday and she came to town on Friday. Yeah. So I was like, okay. But I was telling her, especially after Friday night, I was like, wow, the pharmacist said like, yeah, and you might want to even like wait a couple days after you finish the antibiotics to drink. It's like, well, I waited 24 hours, but he might have been right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also just poured LaCroix all over my notebook trying to show.
Oh, yeah. Are you cutting your bubbly? Are you making a spritzer?
No, I was kind of cutting it just because I haven't had champagne in a little while now, so it kind of tastes
like go straight to your head, all them bubbles.
No, it's not going to go straight to my head. Oh, my God. Anyway, so before we move on to our Valentine's Day section of the program, I just wanted to make a quick plea to our listeners out there. And I'm going to assume that if you've stuck with us this long, hopefully you're receptive to what I'm about to say. And that is, we are recording this episode on Tuesday, February 11th, which is the New Hampshire primary date. And as of right now, the candidate that we are all supporting on the broadcast, Elizabeth Warren, is not doing very well. And it's a really big bummer. And I don't understand how someone can go from first place to fourth place when they've had no scandals, no controversies, no change in message, and fucking come at me if you're going to bitch about the Medicare for All stuff. Like, come at me. Shut the fuck up, Mike. Has been nothing but consistent, like for the people, like a grown up in the room, like, and like she's barely made a pass to like attack other candidates, which maybe in today's day and age is detrimental because the media doesn't like people like a narrative where you're like steady and stable and nice and supportive and a woman and like, you know, maybe
ding ding ding,
right? And well, like, other than the wine cave thing, like, she's barely, like, attacked other people, right? And because of that, like, she's just steady and stable and, like, you know, the tortoise gets the hare, whatever the shit is. I really think that that's been part of, like, their strategy. Because of that, she hasn't gotten a lot of the positive press momentum outside of Left Twitter, who loves her and gives me hope sometimes, except for tonight, in which they pretty much made me want to cry. But anyway, so we have a president that's a wrecking ball, and he flies by the seat of his pants, and we have a woman that is coming in with fucking Hermione Granger energy, and she's laying out her plans to fix the country, and probably, like, you've seen the picture, it's like all giant whiteboard of like envelopes of like her plans for things, and you can like go to it like in her headquarters and like pull it out and read like what she wants to do. I don't see anybody else really having stuff like that. That is very appealing to me But she's not flashy, so, and she's a woman, so clearly they're not coming for her. Anyway, I'm sorry, let me wrap this up. So Super Tuesday is March 3rd, and if you're on the fence about who to vote for or considering not voting because there's a narrative within the media that your two choices really only are Bernie Sanders or Pete Buttigieg, or maybe Amy if you still want a woman because you feel like somebody's campaign is destroyed. Like, it is still up to us to vote for who we want to, and there are still a lot of delegates that are still in play. So please, please consider voting for Elizabeth Warren in the primaries or caucusing for her if you're in, is it Nevada that still has them or wherever else? Please consider that. Like, the person who is electable is the person who beats Trump. Like, it doesn't matter if the person who beats Trump, like, electability is, it's like a state of mind. It's a state of mind. So, like,
well, Elizabeth Warren said it best herself. The only candidates in the race that have never lost are the two women.
Right.
So, but what does that say for your electability?
Exactly. Go to her website and read some of her policies and consider voting for her when it's your turn to vote. And if she ends up losing or dropping out, or if any of your candidate out there drops out, hashtag sorry Yang Gang, please just remember that as much as it is a privilege to remind people to hashtag vote blue no matter who, it's just as much a privilege to say, well, I'm not voting because my candidate's not in it and all the rest suck. Like, it's not a privilege for many of your fellow human beings. Like, not voting against Trump in November just because you're mad that your candidate didn't make it isn't a privilege that people on Medicare and Medicaid can afford. It's not something that, like, children at the border can afford. It's not something that families that are hurt by the Muslim ban, which I know people in Raleigh I'm friends with, they haven't seen their family from Iran, who are good people, in 3 years because of the Muslim ban. Yes, some candidates are better than other ones, but right now anybody is better than Donald Trump and his corrupt government hacks. And please, once I'm done right now, consider voting in your down ballot races, because in most states that aren't swing states, there's really only 4 or 5 states that count in the end in the general election. But the races that count are the local and state government ones, because that's what counts when it comes to electoral maps and states' rights and so on and blah, 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 blah. So long way of me saying, and I'll shut up now, I swear to God, like, just go out there and consider voting for Elizabeth Warren. And then in November, please vote down ballot. Done. Sorry.
Yes. Down ballot races are very important. As are your local elections and your off-year elections. Just vote. If you have an opportunity to vote, you should always vote. Actually, you should read first about the candidates that are running and then go vote. So you're making an educated decision.
Go to multiple sources. Go to multiple sources. You need to, like, look at – think of something that you're interested in, or something that is important to you, and see if that group – has a candidate that they're endorsing, and then read why they're endorsing. And I mean, it takes a lot of work, but we're in February and we have until November. So there is plenty of time to make a list, make a spreadsheet, just read about it and check people off and jot their names down. There's plenty of time. But yeah, we're in the time now. Everybody, even if you don't want to vote for Liz Warren, pick up on her Hermione Granger energy and do your part for democracy, mm-hmm. and don't vote for Donald Trump.
Here, here.
Okay. Yeah. And just remember, don't say vote blue no matter who in anybody's faces right now, because that's obnoxious to some people who are depending on the policies of certain candidates. Mm-hmm. And who's like,
also, it's very hard to say vote really? Blue no matter who. It's like, what is it?
It rolls off the tongue.
No, it, yeah.
We passed a...
sounds dirty when you say it too fast.
We passed a, well, we'll find out if that's not a mess, what she said. We had a bumper sticker. We were, so 2 weeks ago, we were behind a car that said, or last weekend, I guess, we were behind a car that had a Trump, seriously, their license plate, Sandy, you see I posted the picture in PO? Their license plate was 2020 Trump. And they had Trump 2020 stickers, like, on their car. And I was like, who does this? Like, you've actively paid money to update a vanity plate that you're literally going to change next year, hopefully, or in 5 years, but still, like, whatever. And then we were behind a bumper sticker on Sunday that said The Democrat 2020. That's actually kind of funny. Anyway, okay, so moving on. We had put the call out to talk about... So it's our it's Valentine's Day as you're listening to this or just listening to this. And we put the call out for listeners to write in and let us know any memorable dates that they had, whether Valentine's Day or not. And I don't think that we were disappointed. So that's exciting. But before we get started, we had I was going to read a bunch of stuff that I had compiled. And as we started to record the bonus show for the patrons this month, I got a notification on my phone about a woman who's 83 years old, and she's called Tinder Granny. And this is a woman who loves life because she, in honor of Valentine's Day 2020, gave advice to how to find a Valentine on Tinder. So if anybody wants to know what Grandma Hattie has to say... Here we go. So she says, it's like shopping at a good store. There's plenty of things to buy here, and I don't even have to pay for them. She says, I do love to meet a lot of men. When she first thought the app was solely for people looking for hookups, she quickly learned that she could find whatever she was seeking thanks to a few simple tips. So this is pretty much like, here's your Tinder app. Jesus. This is pretty much Grandma Hattie's, the Tinder Grandma's Tinder hack. First one is be specific. If you're really interested in finding a life mate, put I love men and I want to get married in your profile. If you're not clear about what you want, you're not going to get what you want. You're creating it. You're putting it out into the ethers and then the universe knows what to give you back because you're very clear about it. I love that because I was given the recommendation from somebody New Year's 2017 into 2018 who said that every year she writes down the goals and puts it out into the universe of what she wants to accomplish. And I have adapted that because every single month in my little notebook journal thingy, I put down the things that I want to accomplish for the month to put them out there for the universe to see. And then once you put it out there, you're being held accountable for the things that you can be held accountable for. So I love that. So number one, be specific.
I like it.
Number two, listen to your heart. Instead of spending time analyzing a profile or deciding if he's the one, just swipe right, she recommends.
Yes.
Jump in both feet. Don't dip a toe.
Generally, you just trust your instinct because it's like if you ask a whole bunch of questions, everybody thinks they're interesting and fun and sexy and all that. If it hits you right, just say, I'm going to give it a try.
Nice. Yeah. Good advice.
Cheers, good. Grandma Hattie. Number three, set up a time to meet as soon as possible. Give them your phone number immediately. People get into texting. She got there, guys. She got there. People get into texting. It's like fake dates, fake love, fake people. No. I used to watch Catfish, and then people would write each other in love for a year, and they never met. So what you want to do is let it be known that you want to meet. Talk first. Set up a meeting right after that conversation. Power to her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not wrong.
She got some life lessons from watching Catfish.
Yeah, at least someone did.
I kind of love that. I do. I kind of love that. Also, if just a tip, which maybe Amanda can back me up here, but if you are going on a date with somebody from a dating app or just in general, I guess, that you don't know, share your location through your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, with your friends so that way they know where you are.
Yeah. Make sure you always tell someone where you're going.
No, share your location so if your phone is with you, they can physically find where you're going.
Yes. Yes. No, I'm saying that in addition to what you said.
Yeah. Be ready for anything. Ooh, Grandma Hattie. Suggest a casual meeting over drinks, but most importantly, be ready for wherever the night takes you. Leave open the possibility that you'll have a Valentine's Day lovemaking session and be sex ready anytime you're going on a date. Have condoms, have lubricant. Don't do anything without those two things.
Grandma Hattie.
And the third one, consent.
Yes.
Well, this is also these quotes were taken from a video, so.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, this isn't
verbatim. She's playing it up for the cameras.
Yeah, right. I haven't actually watched that video, but I'm looking forward to it. so, yeah, like, be sex ready, everybody. Words from the Tinder granny.
It's true.
But she's right, like, though. Like, you never know where the mood's going to take you, so have protection.
Right. And it's like we spend so much time focusing on how awful online dating is that, like, we forget that sometimes it can be fun.
Yeah, exactly. But like she said, have lubricant because you never know when you just can't spare the moisture.
Yeah.
Or it's got to be quick. Don't be afraid to say no. Oh, here we go. See if I'd only read it just a little bit.
Yeah. Grandma Hattie, I will never doubt you again.
I'm like, I've got to find a grandma with 84 years of experience. Thank you very much. In the event that you're feeling, I don't want to move forward with this, you have to say to the guy, I know this isn't really how I've come on, but be kind and say, we both want it to happen, but it isn't.
Yeah.
Let him down easy.
Which I'm assuming probably happens a lot easier when you're 83. And then don't take rejection personally. If a guy isn't into you, don't get hurt. Rejection is something that Hattie has had her fair share of, especially when she's dating men in their 40s or 50s.
What? Grandma Hattie?
Another picture of a mature woman in mind. Wow, get it, girl. Can I say get it, girl?
Get it, Grandma.
Get it, Grandma Hattie. Oh, my goodness. Can we call this episode Get It, Grandma? Because that's pretty
great. Yes. Yes, we can.
And I feel like a grandma after turning 36, so I feel like this is also my spirit animal episode title. Okay.
36 is still young. I'm still looking down the nose at it. Don't scare me. It's young. It's young. It's youthful.
Every time I have a birthday that, like, makes me all, like, get freaked out, which isn't every birthday, to be honest. Like, 35 was nothing. But I always think of the Dave Matthews Band line, 23 and so scared of life, such a shame to throw it all away. And I'm like, 23 is so young!
I know.
Oh, no, it's 23 and so tired of life, such a shame to throw it all away. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, my God. When I was 18 and listened to that lyric, I was like, yeah, you're right. 23 is ancient. And now I'm like, oh, my God, I had no gray hair at 23. Let's go back there. Just to 23-year-old hair. last one, guys. Last one. We're powering through. I should have given you guys the link to let you read.
No, you're doing a great job. Pictures. I'm loving this.
I'm not, but cool.
How dare you tell me I have poor taste and enjoyment?
Well, this is good because my second backup was an article about how the coronavirus spreads. So I'm glad that we settled on this one.
Well, I'm glad you went with this one. Good choice. Yeah. Your judgment is really on par.
Yeah, thank you.
Doing good.
Make the experience about yourself. It's up to you to choose the one that you want or not want, and then release them or take them in, and then you come up with the fullness of the experiences as it was for you. Don't do anything you don't want to do, and do whatever you want to do. And instead of putting, end quote, instead of putting too much pressure on whether he's Mr. or Mrs. Right, whether he or she or Mr. or Mrs. Right, focus on how you feel about the encounter in the moment. Quote, you use dating and sexuality to get yourself closer, she says. It doesn't matter if it's a good date or a bad date, if you'll be with them forever or not forever. It's a wonderful opportunity and you make it an adventure.
Yeah.
Grandma Hattie.
I get a beer with her.
I would totally.
petition to also possibly call this episode Hattie Has a Plan for That.
Oh, I like it.
We'll see. We'll see how we all feel on Thursday night. All right. So that was fun. Moving on. We've got a bit of feedback, and maybe now we shall take turns with this feedback. And we had asked listeners to give us some of their best, most memorable dates, whether they were good or bad. And I do not think that we were let down. So let's get into what you guys had to share with us.
So Aunt Luana starts out by saying, a couple of years before I met Terry, I was engaged to someone else. Honestly, didn't date him long, but thought I was in love. For Valentine's Day, we decided to go to Love's Barbecue Pit. I wore a really cute dress and thought I looked pretty nice. I got to his house fully expecting him to be wowed and tell me how good I looked. Nope. He asked me how he looked and never said anything about me. I'm pretty sure I paid for dinner that night, and then he fell asleep while we were watching Die Hard on TV. So romantic. We broke up a couple of months later. I saw his mom a few years ago. She said I had really dodged a bullet.
Wow.
It's never great when the mom is saying that.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, thank you, Aunt Luana, for sharing that. It was promising with the barbecue, but yeah. All right. Our next feedback is from Kate via Instagram.
All right. And Kate says, I went out with a guy from work once. He was a little punk type, not my usual. I had misgivings, but still met him out at a bar. He wanted to meet close to work, and I didn't know why. I found out on the date it's because he lived close to it and he had lost his license because of a DWI, so needed somewhere close. I also found out on the date that he sells pot. When asked why, he said he has expensive taste, like True Religion jeans.
I don't know what that is.
It's a brand.
Yeah. They're like moderate. Yeah, they're expensive jeans. They're expensive.
Yeah.
It was also a townie bar, and he knew everyone in it. When he went to the bathroom, his gal pals were asking me if we were going to be a couple, and it was super creepy. He also kept going out for smoke breaks, which I was grossed out by. I used the old, got a text from a friend and need to leave excuse and hightailed it out.
No pun intended.
Oh, Kate.
All right. Well, I hope that this person has since, you know, gotten their license back because they've cleaned up and learned their lesson not to drink and drive.
Right. Yeah. I assume there was never another date.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. Yikes.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, Kate. Right. Sorry. Thank you so much, Kate, for that. If you ever got any updates about that dude, like if you've ever crept on his Insta, let us know.
Where is he now?
Does he still sell
pot? Is he living in a state where it's legal, so that's like okay? Or
I'm assuming that he's currently working for the Sanders campaign. Hi-ho! Sorry, I'm just kidding. Hi-ho. That was just teasing. I'm just teasing. I'm a little bitter right now. Especially because as you were reading that, I pulled up Instagram to see if there were any other of our messages on Instagram. And Zeke from Survivor, the first thing, posted a whole I'm all in with Elizabeth Warren like endorsement. And then my feed is full of those, and I got a little bit better. So that's where that joke came from. Okay, sorry.
That he's aligned with Warren?
Zeke from Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he endorsed Elizabeth Warren.
So two things. Firstly, you follow Zeke on Survivor. I'm very impressed. Secondly, the fact that he's endorsing Warren kind of makes me want to follow him. I always did like him in his one episode.
No, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Zeke.
Is that the is that the one that got outed?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're thinking of the Zeke, the redheaded Zeke from Malcolm's first season. Oh my god. You were totally thinking of that dude.
Okay, yeah, that's true. There's been two Zekes and I don't know why my mind went to I was like, oh my god, how cool that Zeke is like endorsing. Okay, anywho.
No, the one who's endorsing.
That makes more sense. That makes a lot more sense.
The one who's definitely more likely to vote for Zeke.
Right.
To vote for Warren than to vote for Donald Trump. That one, that Zeke.
Right.
Because you're thinking the one with Malcolm, right? The redhead.
Yeah, totally.
Like, please vote me off. Like, I don't. I miss my cigarettes. Vote me off. That dude.
Yeah. That dude. Yeah.
Yeah. That dude. Yeah. I'm kind of ashamed that I actually remember all of that because there's been so many from more recent seasons that I don't remember.
Dude, that's why I was like, wow, you follow him on Instagram? That's kind of random, but. Good job.
Anyways, moving on. We got an email from Jay-Z. Jay-Z. We got an email from JP about, I don't know, maybe burning somebody's ass or something. I'm not sure, but here we go.
Well, JP writes in, a V day that made me feel like a VJ. If there's ever a subject matter suited for me, it's the topic of dating horror stories. Cue thunder and a maniacal laugh performed by Shandy. I think you got that laugh with the Jay-Z thing. Here's one I don't think I ever told. But a long time ago, I met someone for a first date. This was an online date, so all I had to go by were pictures we exchanged, and we chose to do hibachi at a nearby restaurant. For whatever reason, she and I were on the phone together when I pulled into the parking lot. She told me she was standing in front of the restaurant, and as I parked, I did see a person fitting her description in front and on her cell. I parked, walked over, and said hi, ready to go inside. She acted like she had no idea who I was. It was a cute joke, and I played along and acted kind of goofy about it. After a few, seriously, who are yous? I realized this was not the person I was meeting. Evidently, waiting in front of the hibachi restaurant meant waiting inside.
Oh, dear.
Anywho, situation diffused. I went inside, met the date, and sat down for dinner. So let's move on, right? God. Wrong!
Oh, no.
The person I made an absolute ass of myself to, and her man... get seated at our hibachi table.
Oh, God.
How can I enjoy the flaming onion volcano with them staring and laughing?
With a little bit of hot mustard sauce. That's how you do it. For a lot of things.
Those pieces of zucchini the chef tossed at my mouth might as well have just gone through my heart. Disclaimer. Andy, this stuff only happens to me, so please don't let the story discourage you from online dating. JP from NJ.
Oh, wow. God.
I kind of love that. That might be one of my favorite JP stories.
That's really good. I'd be curious to know if he told his actual date what had just happened to him outside.
That's something that we would all definitely do. I would.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is so funny. Okay, then. You guys did not let us down.
Yeah.
If anybody else has any other date stories, even the good ones, we would love to hear them. Thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Like, seriously, we would love to hear them. I got engaged 10 years ago this week. My great date, that was also a Valentine's Day date, because we celebrate something called Birthentine's Day, which is when your birthday and Valentine's Day fall less than a week apart. So it was like one of those. Mm. And then we went to the restaurant, and Jay's parents happened to be there. And he was like, shit, I can't propose with them there. And we went back to the house. So then, yeah, seriously. We went back to our apartment, and he gave me a beer, a Sam Adams Winter Lager, and a ring. It was great. Aww, it was very ideal.
Classic.
A beer and a ring. Lovely. Love it.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you get the same someday, Grandma Hattie, if you want it.
Yep.
If you want it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Moving into the facey back. But before we get into the feedback, let's take a quick commercial break. All right. So moving into the facey back. Greg says, two parts, hell yeah. And this is talking about our real weird crossover. Matt says, a new broadcast, Nan New Kesha, on the same day. Happy Broads Day to all of us. In case you missed it, Shandy and Amanda and future Colleen will be happy to know that Sex Education was renewed for season 3.
Sweet. I saw that. coming 2021. So I'll have to wait a whole other year for it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it will be worth the wait.
Definitely. Yes.
And then there's some feedback from the Real Weird Sisters page shared with permission. Faye says, I just want to back up Shandy in response to the part two crossover episode that just got released. I knew guys from middle school who confirmed that circle jerking was a thing, at least.
Vindicated.
Oh my God, I should start playing the Vindicated song right here. And then Shandy, I'm going to let you do the honors of reading up the details of
this. Faye's is great.
Message.
This is great. So when Faye put that comment, I was like, oh my God, can I share that? And she was like, yeah. And you know, I can email you DM you the deeds. Like, yeah, please, please. I'm living for this. So she says, okay. So this was a story from my ex-boyfriend and it always weirded me out, but hey, to each their own. Anyways, one time he told me about how he and like five or so friends would all hang out at one friend's house who had a projector in the basement and would stream porn and watch it all together and then would all separately jack off while right next to each other. Woo! 3 exclamation marks. And he alluded to the fact that a lot of the guys from the middle school did similar stuff too. I was shocked, LOL. So after that, he didn't open up too much about it. I mostly thought it was hilarious because it was a bunch of dudes I knew back in the day, and I had a very vivid image of them all after he told me. I found this out during college, so it was many years after the fact. Vindicated. Mic drop. Thank you, Faye. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Good for you.
We should have never doubted.
Was this like I'm a boarding contented. School or something? All right. Good times. Good times. Thank you, Faye, for sharing that. That was great. Even, you know. Yeah. Did Faye see the cookie game video? You might want to post the cookie game video in.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I did put the link to that in the show notes for anybody who is interested. It's there. I'm hoping that the rest of the feedback from the Real Weird Sisters threads was just as positive. If it wasn't, you can tell me after.
Oh, no. Everything was positive. But, yeah, I didn't put it in our...
Fabulous. Somebody did say that I had an infectious laugh, which is great, because usually it's her laugh makes me want to leave a 1-star, which I'm doing right now, and unsubscribe, which I'm also doing right now. So, aww. Cheers. Mm. Oh, I don't care. It's my laugh. There's nothing I can do about it.
Justina is infectious.
It is.
You can change, yeah. Yeah, like the coronavirus infectious.
Ooh, thick burn.
Thick burn on myself. All right, moving on to the message she said.
All right, very excited to be back for a third time.
You couldn't just think it, and then it happened.
Every year for the last 3 years, so now it's a thing.
We're going to be doing something now after the book club ends.
You keep teasing it.
I didn't throw it out. I donated it to grad students. The couch. It's coming up the soon. Couch.
That is big and exciting.
I think you guys started a little bit before us.
Do we want to get started with this? Do you want to get in?
You should definitely come.
I would make a mother-daughter exception.
Oh!
We'll just show up. Yes, thank you. That's from Survivor, Amanda.
That was a deep cool. Pull.
It was, but it was so perfect in the moment.
Oh my God, so good.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Oh my God. You know what? I miss listening to a lot of the Survivor podcasts. I listen to all political podcasts instead nowadays. I can't wait for Trump to get voted out of office so I can listen to podcasts that aren't political podcasts. podcast.
Yeah, no, you need palate cleansers. You need to like take some breaks.
If you, this is maybe unorthodox, but I will recommend one podcast episode that you should listen to. Speaking of the Real Weird Sisters, they interviewed Rob's sister. They were on they did a show with him where they sorted the 20 returning players.
Yes, I had that downloaded. 40. I have to listen to that. But first it was I had to let through.
Excellent. Cool. Yeah. It's the only preseason episode, like Survivor podcast episode I've listened to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where were we?
I usually don't do that much anymore.
It was a springtime release.
Just let it fly free.
That thing you do with closer friends?
I did it for four.
You're going to have to stick around and come next week.
We'll tell you whether or not you can come back in.
Most of my stuff comes from comparisons.
We need another ass one.
It's a roundabout ass one.
And then Matt says, and I didn't have time to transcribe the ones for part two yet, but here's a tease. Everybody goes to the cat house.
All right, getting into some of the butt her shemales. We first up have a thread from that Dennis submitted from Twitter, and it is God converses with protective dad. And he says he takes issue with some of the assumptions, several of the assumptions at the end, but her conversation with God tweets are worth a look and see. I think that, so I went through I read through this thread when Dennis sent it in. And I will say that this is probably good for the broadcast players, but essentially, at Design Mom on Twitter says, when I hear men worshiping guns and talking about how there's nothing that will stop them from defending their family, my mind goes to Naaman in the Bible. Do you remember him? He was a great military leader and he also had leprosy. The prophet told him to bathe in the Jordan River 7 times to be cured. He refused. In fact, he was pissed off the cure was so simple. So his servants said, if he'd asked you to do something great, you would have done it. But you're not willing to go bathe in the water? That's like men bragging about how they're ready and willing to protect their family. They're picturing doing some great thing, but protecting your family is almost always more mundane. A few conversations with God to illustrate. Conversation number one, who's going to be God and who's going to be man and who's going to be the narrator?
I'll be God.
Amanda, you're the man.
Oh, fantastic.
Amanda. Go ahead.
Great. Hey, God, I just want you to know, I'm committed to protecting my family at all costs.
Oh, gosh, that's great to hear.
It doesn't say man.
Oh, God, I thought it was man.
Yeah, no, it doesn't say man. I think it's still you.
No, it's Shandy.
One of the main things I need you to do to protect your family is laundry. Tons of laundry. You know, kids. They're so susceptible to infections and viruses. Pinworms, athlete's foot, lice, strep throat, colds and flus, pneumonia and diarrhea are serious killers of children under 5. The list is endless. So you're going to need to do laundry pretty much daily. Oh my God. The God is so long. I thought I was picking the shorter
one. God is verbose. God is verbose in this.
Yep.
Launder their socks and underwear, their sheets, put their sneakers through the wash. I can't emphasize this enough. Protecting your family involves a lot of laundry.
Oh, I'm thinking more along the lines of a masked intruder with a gun at 2 a.m. raping my family.
First of all, stop fantasizing about your family being raped. Second, do you know the stats on break-ins? The vast majority happen when no one is at home, and only a small percentage are armed. Home alarms and dogs reduce the risk even more. And even if you do end up being the rare house with an armed break-in while home, you want to shoot someone for your TV? Isn't that a ridiculous overreaction? You're not in the mob. I assure you there's a slim to none chance you'll need to defend your family at gunpoint. If you want to protect your family, laundry is where you need to focus.
But I bought all these guns and ammunition, and I'm telling you, if anyone threatens my family, I'll be ready.
Is there anything you're willing to do to protect your family that's not the plot of an action/thriller?
Man. Silence. God. Silence. Man. Silence. God.
Sigh.
End conversation one. This is fun. I was going to stop you guys after one, but this is great. So conversation number two, starting with God.
Am I still God?
Yes.
She said. I'd like you to protect your family.
You bet. I'm ready. If anyone touches my kids, they're dead meat.
Okay. Well, to protect your family, the thing I need you to do is teach thorough hand washing. Basically, you'll need to carefully wash your kids' hands several times a day until they're old enough to do it themselves. At that point, you'll need to supervise the hand washing for several years until you know you've mastered it. They've mastered it. And from then on, you just need to spend another 10 years asking them to wash their hands multiple times a day. Before school, after school, before meals, after potty breaks, etc. Cool?
Well, is there an assignment that's more related to guns?
Nope. The main thing is hand washing. Having guns in the house actually puts your kids in harm's way. Surely, as a protective parent, you've read about the dangers of keeping and storing guns at home.
Hmm.
Let me guess. If I need someone to dig a hole on an asteroid, plant a bomb in the hole, and blow up the asteroid in order to save the Earth, you'll be the first in line.
Heck yes!
God, silence. Man, silence. God.
Helpful.
And finally, conversation number three. This is really fun.
This is really fun. I'm ready to defend my family. My guns and ammunitions are stocked.
So glad to hear you're ready to defend your family. Here's the key thing I need you to do. Never drink alcohol again.
Wait, what?
Well, I'm sure you know motor vehicle accidents and gun accidents are top killers of children. And mixing alcohol with driving or guns makes them far riskier. If you've been drinking, there's a high likelihood you'll drive drunk, lose your temper, and hurt the kids. Or just be irresponsible with your guns. So if you want to protect your family, I would recommend giving up alcohol as a good way to start.
Man, silence. God, silence. Man.
Can I just shoot some bad guys?
So then you're not actually interested in protecting your family.
All right, so there's another conversation, but I think you guys all have the general idea that was great. Thank you, Dennis. Our next email is from Molly, and it is advice needed.
Hello, broadcasters. I am in need of some advice. There is a guy I was friends with in college. This was 4 or 5 years ago at this point. He had a thing for me, but I was dumb and afraid of commitment, so even though I was into him, nothing much ever came of it, other than making out a few times at parties because hashtag college. I have casually dated people since then, but haven't gone out with anyone more than a handful of times. This guy from college has always been at the back of my mind. We've run into each other a couple of times over the years, our college football tailgates, but always in big crowds. Recently, I've been thinking about texting him and asking him out, but I'm so nervous and unsure. It's been so long since we've been in each other's lives. Also, I know gender roles are dumb, but they stick, and it is so far out of my comfort zone to make the first move. I am mostly afraid of taking a risk and of possible rejection. I also have no idea if he is still single. What do you think I should do? Should I bite the bullet and ask him out, or just try to forget about him and move on? I would appreciate any advice. Thank you, Molly. Well, I think you absolutely should not move on if you have feelings for him and you don't know he's single. Girl, just reach out and see what's going.
Yeah. Also, you know, social media has some advantages, and it's to like that is somebody true. Is single or not. Like,
that's true. There are ways to find out without actually having to ask.
Yeah. So that, you know, could be your starting point. But I agree with Amanda. Like, if you're still have feelings somewhere, give it a shot. What would Grandma Hattie do?
Mm-hmm. Grandma Hattie would go for it. She would throw a little thing of lube in her purse and she would just
go. WWGHD.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what Grandma Hattie would do.
Yep.
And like, you don't have to like hit him up to like and like ask him out on a date. You could just see if he wants to like hang out with friends.
Exactly. If you were friends once before, start from a place of friendship, get a lay of the land, and then see if you feel comfortable making another move.
Indeed. I agree, yeah.
And if you do, just remember that he's also probably afraid of taking a risk and possible rejection.
Very good point.
Yeah, agreed. And keep us posted. Yeah, keep us posted, because we would love to help
you
through this. Yes. This is exciting.
We're invested parties at this point. We want to know.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. But yeah, we give you the thumbs up. As long as, like, creep on his social media, as long as there's no, like, massive warning signs, like a girlfriend or a MAGA sticker or, I don't know, like, whatever. I leave you to be the judgment of what is a warning sign to you. But, like, I say, yeah, why not? All right. And good luck.
Good yeah. Luck.
And don't forget the lube. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we finish up this show with an Andy update. We've got two Andy updates back to back.
We do. Okay, so this was for the Broads and Sisters. So sisters are listening from afar. Well, it's been a pretty quiet couple of weeks. 2020 has not started with a bang, to say the least. Well, it'll give us some time to workshop updated lyrics on the broadcast theme. I really want to give you some good news, but for now, it's just me imagining how I'll tell you good news. That's just how it is right now. I also wanted to respond to Greg's email. I think we all know I can relate to what he's dealing with. For a long time, I didn't look for dates because I was too depressed or anxious, and now I worry about how they will react to me telling them that I'm still a virgin and the circumstances that led to it. However, I agree with the Broad's advice and generally practice it myself. I'm not telling them about my inexperience on the first date, and I'm sure they're not telling me sensitive information they don't want to reveal on a first date. I'm sorry about your family issues, but I think a little discretion is fine until you know them better, since they are certainly exercising some as well. Bottom line is, you're certainly not alone on this. Also, try not to think that you have so many issues that you're undateable. If you feel you need some time for self-care and get better before pursuing this coworker or any other woman, do that. But don't feel like you're too broken to be loved, because you're not. It reminds me of the Japanese art of kintsugi.
Kintsugi? I don't know. Whatever.
Golden joinery. It's basically taking a piece of pottery that is broken and fixing it using a colored lacquer, usually gold, silver, or platinum. You don't hide the breaks or flaws. You highlight them, and they too can be beautiful in their own way. Whoever you interact with will have her baggage, and she may worry that it will be a deal breaker too. But with the right person, you accept them because they make them them. Those cracks just make you human. I guess we can wrap it up on a slightly juvenile note and say, embrace your crack and find those who embrace it too. # I'm with her sickos, Andy. And I would say, Andy, that is great advice. And I would really love for you to take that your own advice.
Amen. Second to that.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say, embrace your crack. So that way it becomes a match that she said next week.
Yes, embrace your crack. But seriously, the kintsugi. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard of. No, I guess I haven't heard of it before. I just like it.
Well, now you have.
Yes,
now we all have.
I feel like, no, honestly, Amanda, I feel like this is like in some action movie or something. Like, you go to the guru and they, or, you know, the person that's like the wise one, and they tell them about like this. This could have been in like The Dark Knight Rises or something. Like,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe, yeah.
Like something like that, where they're like, just when you're down, Master Wayne, you can kintsugi your way back or something. I don't know. But
yeah, it does feel like something from a movie.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It is lovely. Thank you, Andy.
It is.
Yes, thank you for that. And then we also got this Valentine's Day in Andy's virginity. So Andy writes to us, "Hey, Broads, another Valentine's Day is here, and I'm spending it in the usual way, single again. It's a bit frustrating, especially as I remember it's been 2 years since my last date. So while Colleen has celebrated the end of dry January, I'm well into my latest dry February." That's just how it is at the moment. I know it's just a day, but I still like to look forward to a Valentine's Day, especially when it falls on a weekend. Well, there's always next year. Indeed. Mm-hmm. The other day I was at the drugstore and something caught my eye. Now, I'll reiterate, I will be using a condom during my first encounter. However, I don't think I'll be using one tattoo touch condoms. These are tattoos that are ribbed in various tattoo designs, and they come in three colors. I have to imagine they work by making the user's partner so thoroughly turned off that sex is taken off the table, among other locations.
Oh my god.
Well, that's it for me. Hope all the couples have a fun Valentine's Day and all the singles enjoy the day regardless of their status. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy.
Oh, Andy, what's coming at us hot with those one-liners? Oh man.
I am now looking at the link that he sent us for one tattoo touch pleasure ribbed tattoo inspired designs.
It's onecondoms.com.
They must be so proud of themselves for getting that URL.
Right.
All right. $5 for a 3-pack. Oh, is that expensive normal? Or cheap? I do not know.
I don't know.
And the description says,
but it's really a five out of five.
The description says, no, it's not a tattoo for your penis. It's way more fun. Our cool tattoo touch condoms were inspired by three unique tattoo designs ribbed for your pleasure.
Cool. Yeah. I'll put that in the show notes too. Why? Yeah. You know what? Actually, no. I'm not going to put in the show notes because they're not sponsoring us. If they want to sponsor us, I'll put them in the show notes. But you can go to onecondoms.com. That is the amount that I'm willing to. Yeah. Good times. Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, good times. All right, everybody. That does it for us tonight. Thank you to the patrons. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/jayandjack. We would appreciate any support you could give us. A special thank you to the patrons that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Drake the Destroyer of Time, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. If you would like to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to www.jayandjack.com/Amazon. That's all lowercase letters. We would appreciate that as well. Now that I've, you know, gotten off the water bottles, I've got to start to build up my collection of like fun tumblers and cups. I've got this insulated cup with the metal inside I've been drinking out of, and it's like a freebie that we got from somewhere called Untangle. I don't know. We got it from something, like I said. It's super cool, though. It keeps the water cold, so I like that. But I was thinking about how we need new merchandise. That's where I was going with this. And that means we need to start brainstorming for new merchandise for May. So if anybody out there has anything that they would like to see the broadcast do, let us know. You can email us, comment on the Facebook group, join our Facebook fan page, The Broadcast with Amanda, Shani, and Colleen. The link to that is also in the show notes. I've been posting things there, but I noticed that that doesn't get as many views as when we post it in the Facebook, the Jay and Jack groups, the patron one and the regular one. But if we can build that up, that would be great too. So search for that or send me a message. We'll send you the link for it, but it is in the show notes. And I think that's about it. Come join us in May if you're thinking about it. If you're on the fence, it's a lot of fun. Martha's going to maybe come and identify all the toilets in the area. So that should be a good time. And, you know, like I said earlier, please consider voting for Elizabeth Warren in your primary or caucus. And if you really have researched it and decide that she's not the candidate for you, then, you know, go out and vote. Participate in your democracy, because I don't know if democracy is going to be around for much longer. So participate. Get it while you can, like Grandma Hattie would say. Get it while the getting's good. Bring your lube. If your candidate dropped out, if you were a Michael Bennett fan, was that his name? If you were a Bennett fan, you know, and now you're really bummed that he's gone. Like, get that lube. Like Amanda said, grab your lube and go to the voting booth. Go to the polls.
Don't like that.
Don't like that. I don't know. Hattie has a plan for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks, guys, for joining us. As always, we appreciate it. My name. Does anybody else have anything? Sorry.
Nope.
Nope.
Bring us home. Bring us
all
home.
All right. Well, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
All right. Peace out, everybody. Oh, also, before that, I know I just said that. Next week, we're live for the patrons that contribute at $15 or more. So do that. Maybe we'll, I don't know, we'll have a party of some sort. I don't know, a February party. Cool. All right. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye.
Bye.